Okay, Rabbi Nachman, Parshas Vayechi. There's a lot to say here. All right, so Rabbi Nachman begins off with the pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Chaf Ches. It says, "Be'orach Tzaka Chayim, in the ways of charity is life. V'derech Nesiva Al Mavas, and on her way is lack of death." So Rabbi Nachman explains that a person's life is preordained. There's a Derech HaTeva thing in the, however it is under the Maracha, the person's life, how long they're going to live is a thing that's pre-nigzer on the person, and but Derech HaTeva, there's nothing they can do about that. But through tzedakah, makes like a nace, almost through tzedakah, a person can be zocha to extra years of their life. So that's Baruch Tzedakah Chaim. And not only that if a person does tzedakah, they can be at least batuach, sure that they will not die kodem zmano. So that's v'derech nesiva al mavis. In other words, tzedakah can make a person live longer, but they can be certain it will make it that they don't live shorter. And then he goes on to mention that tzedakah means to give a person who needs money from their own money. And there are different levels. We know the poor people of your city come before poor people of another city. Your family comes before other poor relatives, come before other poor people. And the people that come first are actually your family, your immediate family, your children. That's the highest level of a high level of tzedakah, says Rabbi Nachman. And then the one above that is your parents. If you remember, you know, if you think about it now, we're kind of used to Social Security and that kind of thing. But in the old days, if, you know, when people got old, they can't go to work, wasn't a service economy, they were just old, they couldn't work the field, and, you know, who's going to support them? So that's the highest level of tzedakah, is parents, giving your parents. And that's what the Gemara always quotes as kibud avayim, machilo mashkeo, right, to give them food, drink, help them get dressed. There were no nursing homes. You took care of your parents, so that's the highest level of tzedakah. So the penultimate level of tzedakah was giving tzedakah to your children, your own family and your children. And the ultimate level of tzedakah was to your parents. And we find by Yaakov and Yosef that Yosef lived by Yaakov for 17 years before he was sold as a slave. So Yaakov supported Yosef for 17 years while he was a kid. And then Yaakov got Mida Keneged Mida. He was paid back that when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim 17 years, right? He came there, he was 130, died 147. So Yosef supported Yaakov for 17 years. So that's his tzedakah, and that's how we get into the parsha. It discusses the life of, the end of the life of Yaakov in Mitzrayim. Okay, now Rabbi Nachman has discussed this in other occasions. This the Torah calls Yaakov, sometimes Yisrael. He mentioned previously, I believe it was Rabbeinu Chananel who gave the pshat that when it said, when Hashem says, "Lo yikarashim cha od Yaakov, Eli Yisrael," I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly correctly, but you know, like that, Hashem said, "Your name will not be Yaakov anymore, it will be Yisrael," it meant it'll also be Yisrael. The Iker name will be Yisrael, the main name will be Yisrael, but you're also called Yaakov, as we see the Torah calls him both. So here Rabbeinu Bechai explains, because it says, he's talking about this now, because it says, "Vayikrivu yimi Yisrael lamos." So this is where the Torah flips back and forth, whether he's called Yisrael or Yaakov. So he said, Yisrael, you know, is the holier name, like when we're talking about the more ruchniistic part of Yaakov, or the Jewish people, as it may be. It's called Yisrael always. And when we're talking about the more gashmiistic part of Klal Yisrael or Yaakov, he's called Yaakov. So he says, you'll see the psukim always seem to follow this pattern. And you know, when the Jewish people are on a higher level, we use the name Yaakov. Or so he brings some examples. Like we say, there's a pasuk that says, "Boracha Yaakov v'yotzercha Yisrael." The one who is borei you, Yaakov, creates you, v'yotzercha, forms you, Yisrael. And we say, "Yotzer oru v'orei choshech." Right, the light has the lashon yitzira, choshech has the lashon bria, and the same thing that pasuk says, "Boracha Yaakov yotzercha Yisrael." The holier thing is called Yisrael. We find also Sagat Beis Yaakov, you know, Bnei Yisrael and Beis Yaakov, that the man does the Ruchni as part of the team, and the wife takes care of the Gashmias. And there's another amazing pasuk he quotes that says, "V'lo osi karasi Yaakov,
Ki yagata bi Yisrael.
That's a pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Aleph. I'm sorry, Yeshaya, where did it go? Mem Gimel Pasuk Chav Beis. So the simple reading of that pasuk is V'lo osi karasa Yaakov, Hashem, or the whatever, complaining. You didn't call me Yaakov, ki yagata bi Yisrael, that you should have been weary from me, Yisrael. Rabbeinu Michael learns it differently. It says, V'lo osi karasa Yaakov. When you're Yaakov, in other words, when you're involved in your Gashmias, when you're a Yaakov-type Jewish people involved in your Gashmias, then it's lo osi karasa, you didn't call me. But ki yagata, if you work for your neshama, if you work in Torah and you work in mitzvahs and you work on your neshama, ki yagata bi, if you work for me, you know, in me, then Yisrael, then you're called Yisrael, then you're the high level man. Okay. Then we have the pasuk Al Nasik Bereini b'Mitzrayim. Yaakov says, "Do not bury me in Mitzrayim." So Rashi, we know, brings that they shouldn't make me an avodah zara. But Amichai just adds on that when the Hashem is poreya from the people who serve the avodah zara, it's Nifrayim min hanavodim as well. Hashem punishes the things that were worshipped as well. Like we know, it says B'chol Elohim Mitzrayim Aseh Shvatim. Hashem destroyed the gods of Egypt, like the Nile was the god of Egypt, and it got turned to blood. So Yaakov didn't want to be worshipped, number one, because he didn't want to be worshipped, because that's bad. And number two, the thing that gets worshipped gets punished too. So that's why he said, don't let me stay here in Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, Yaakov wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, because also he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, because it is a holy land, and it's Mechaper Avonos, number one. Number two, he writes, the Neshamos Hazochos go find a derech there to be Shav L'Sharsham. That's the place where they can, I guess, easily go to heaven. Well, you know, I don't know the details of that. Obviously, I'm not a Mekubal, but that's his Lashon of the Rebbeinu Bechai. Neshamos Hazochos Derech Sham Shavta Shovim L'Shar Sham. I'm not quoting exactly right, but that's the idea. From Eretz Yisrael, you could go straight, connect to things up high better. And they don't need Gilgal, as we know, the thing with when there will be Tchias HaMesim. Right, Rashi brings it too, and there'll be Tchias HaMesim. The bodies in Chutz La'aretz will have to roll to Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the bodies that are already there. And also, the Tchias HaMesim will happen first in Israel and then elsewhere. It's for all those reasons he wanted to be buried in Israel. He also brings a medrash, or the Omer of Yitzchak, that a person knows Biyom Misaso where they're going. That when on the day a person dies, they know. where they're going, if they're going upstairs or downstairs. It's just interesting. Okay, then he said, V'shachavtim avosai v'nosasani b'mitzrayim. I will lie with my fathers and bring me from Mitzrayim. So Rabbeinu Bechai says that it doesn't matter where a person dies. They're always, their neshama goes to their fathers. Now, v'shachavtim avosai is a fact. The neshama goes etzel avosav, will go to the fathers. However, he wanted his body to be buried in Egypt. I mean, in Israel, rather. And it says, "V'kavarti b'kvurasam." I want to be buried with, you know, with them, with my fathers. And Chazal learned from here, Mikan, that you should bury tzaddikim with tzaddikim, and that's how many cemeteries are set up. There's a place for the rabbis who are buried. You want to bury tzaddikim with tzaddikim. And we learned that from this thing Yaakov requested, "V'kavarti b'kvurasam." So Yosef responds, Anochi Asek Hidvarecha. So the Pasha Pshat, of course, means that I will do what you said. But the other Pshat he brings here is, Anochi Aseb Kidvarecha means, that's a good idea, I'm going to do what you did. Just like you, Yaakov, or Mashbia, me, Yosef, to take you out of Egypt, I'm going to be Mashbia, the Jewish people, to take me out of Mitzrayim. So that's Anochi Aseb Kidvarecha, I'm going to do like you did. That was a good idea. It says, "Vayichazek Yisrael v'yishav alamita." We know Yaakov used his strength, and he got up when Yosef was there. So there he brings that medrash that says, Yaakov said, "If a general had been kind to me and gave me clothes, so I'd have to give him kavod. So because this is Yosef, I shouldn't give him kavod." So you know, it's just a thing to keep in mind if we're lucky enough to have a governor or whatever, some public official who happens to be from, and they are good to the Jews. Remember, had someone been a governor who's not Jewish and is good to us, you'd be very thankful. The fact that the person is from a governor or mayor, or whatever the case may be, or president, or whatever. They also deserve covered. Okay, then we have Yaakov blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. So just an interesting thing he says. It says, Vayasim is Ephraim lefnei Manasseh. He brings one pshat. It says he put Ephraim lefnei Manasseh. He says it means literally what it sounds like. He put Ephraim before Manasseh to give covet to Manasseh. You got that? In other words, we knew it was going to be obvious that Ephraim was going to be the more chashuv of the two, but he was the younger of the two. So Rabbi Nebuchai says he put Ephraim before Manasseh, meaning to show him, you know, this is your older brother. You may become the gadol hador, then that's very nice. But don't forget, he's your older brother, and you always have to be noeg with him. Kavod, don't become such a bal gaiva. Remember, he is your older brother. Treat him with respect. That's vayasim es Ephraim lefnei Manasseh. He put Ephraim before Manasseh to show him, you know, this is your older brother. Don't remember, he's your older brother. It's a fascinating pshat. Okay, and then we have the famous pasuk where Yaakov says that I conquered what I conquered. Miad ha'amori becharbi u'bekashti. And conquered Eretz Yisrael, Becharbi u'Bekashti. So we know the different pshatim, Becharbi u'Bekashti means his davening. Rabbeinu Bechai also brings a pshat and it means my Torah. And Charbi refers to Torah, like the Torah is considered called the Cherev Pifios, a double-edged sword or spear, like the Torah, like the Luchos, Remizeo Mizek Suvim. Torah is referred to a sword. And it was Bischus HaTorah that he got Eretz Yisrael, and that's how we get Eretz Yisrael, it's Bischus HaTorah. He also brings the Ramban that he thinks that what it means is Becharbi Bekashti, that he conquered Eretz Yisrael, means that he did a simon like a Navid sometimes does. He does an act to show that it's to concretize a Navua to make sure it's going to happen. So he thinks that that's what he means. Yaakov shot arrows at Israel, or something like that, to do some action to concretize the Navua that he would conquer Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, that which it says that he conquered it from the Amori, all the Rishonim discuss what in the world does that mean, the Amori? What makes the Amori special? So there's all different pshatim, you know, there's Rashi and the Ramban, that's all fine, but he brings an interesting pshat that Amori refers to Esav. That, in other words, Yaakov got the Bechorah, got Eretz Yisrael from the Amori. Amori refers to Esav because Esav was Tzad, his father, Imri Piv. Hope I'm not going too fast, there's just a lot to do. All right, so then Yaakov says, I want to tell you, my sons, what's going to happen to you, ba'achris hayomim. We know achris hayomim means when Mashiach comes. So, why would he be telling them, you know, it's nice for us who read the Chumash to know about achris hayomim. But they're in Egypt. Don't they want to know about current hayomim? Like, when are we going to get out of Egypt here? Why didn't he talk to them about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Which is what the brothers would have been more interested in. And why did they want to, presumably, why did he say, I'm going to talk to you about Achris Hayamim? He should have told them first about Tchilas Hayamim, you know, Mitzrayim. How are you going to get out of that? So Rabbeinu Bechai brings how he basically did tell them, you know, that they were going to go out of Mitzrayim. But he says, really, there's a Kabbalah that the Yetziah for Mitzrayim and the Yetziah of Achris Hayamim will be very similar. And he says, that's two gatherings. It says, gather, and I will tell you that which will happen in Achris Hayamim. Gather and hear Bnei Yaakov, and listen to Yisrael your father. So, two gatherings. So Rabbeinu Bechai says, because in Achris Hayamim there will be two in gatherings. We've discussed this before. This is a Rabban Shir Shirim. This is a similar thing. That there are going to be two kibbutz goliases, two returns to Israel. All right, exactly what that means depends which Rishon you're reading. But I'll just tell you the other places he points out where it says that. The famous one is the one we just read in the Tainus. You know, Asher Patavis was the other day. At the end it says, Ne'um Hashem lakim mikabetz nidchei Yisrael. Hashem is mikabetz nidchei Yisrael. Oda kabetz alav the nikbatzav. I will do a kibbutz to the kibbutzers, to the nikbats. You know, there'll be a second kibbutz goliath to add on to the ones that are already brought in. And there are other pasukim. Saf nidcha Yisrael, the nefutzitz Yisrael, Yehuda yakabetz. Many pasukim that sound like there are two kibbutz goliaths. Like we mentioned, there's the famous Ramban and Shir HaShirim that says the first one will be a return to Israel with the permission of the Goyim, and then there may be a long break after that until the final kibbutz galus happens with Mashiach.
That's in Shir HaShirim. Anyway, this is the Rabbeinu B'chai here, that the two Lashons Kibbutzim are because there will be two Kibbutz Galiuses.
Okay, now we get to the Birchas Yaakov. Just again, picking highlights here, of course. Highlights is in what I found interesting. I can't go through every one. We're just going general, just picking some. By Reuven, it says, Az chilalta yitzui Allah. We're talking about the, that he mixed up the bed, whatever, the story with the beds, his father's beds. It says, Lashon chulin, Az chilalta, Rebbeinu B'chai says, because the covet of your father is like the covet of Hashem. And therefore, if a person does something that's a lack of covet to their father, so then it's a chilul Hashem. Because the covet of your parents is like the covet, is shakul, a covet amakum, is the same as covet Hashem. And that's why the lashon of chilul. Okay, now here's something interesting by Yehuda. By Yehuda, there are three psukim that mention Yehuda at the beginning. First, you have the first pasuk, Yehuda atayu ducha achecha. Second pasuk, gur aryeh Yehuda. Third pasuk, lo yosur shevet, mi Yehuda mechokik mi bein raglav ad ki avo shilo. Three intro psukim, and Yehuda's bracha, the first three, mention Yehuda three separate times. You don't find that by any of the other brothers. So Rabbeinu B'chai says that is a hint to three malachim. Yehuda himself, second one is David, third one is, you guessed it, Mashiach. So the first pasuk refers to Yehuda himself again, how strong he was. Then the David HaMelech is called the Gur Aryeh Yehuda. He was a Gur, he was a young lion, because when he first was with Shaul, he was young. And then Miteref Bini Alisa, he was saved. He did not, he wasn't killed by Shaul. He has other Ramazim in that pasuk. And then the one about Mashiach is Lo Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda Mechokik Mi Bein Raglav Ad Ki Yavo Shilo. That there will be no stopping in the Malchus of Yehuda Ad Ki Yavo Shilo. So Shilo is his son, which is Mashiach. And he says an interesting thing. Shilo refers, is from the Lashon Shilia, that he'll come from a placenta, meaning it will be a normal birth. Lafuke. Something, right? That's to say against other theories, but that the Mashiach is going to be a normal birth. That's the Lashon Shilo, and he says that some, obviously not our folk, some wanted to bring a raya from here. Mashiach must have come already, because it says once there'll be a king in Yehuda, it'll never stop having kings from Yehuda ad ki yavo Shilo. And since there are no kings of Yehuda anymore, must have been Shilo came. Ha-ha! And he said his Rebbe, the Rashba, responded to that, and in the Navi, it is clear that it will never stop Malchus from Yehuda once Mashiach comes. And since we don't see any kings from Yehuda right now, it must be Mashiach did not come, because that promise of Melucha not stopping is from the time Mashiach comes. Believe it or not, that was not in the original Rabbeinu B'chai. It was taken out by the censors, as you might imagine, and it was put back in recently. Okay. Another Medrash he has about this Miteref Bini Alisa, that the Medrash says, Yehuda saved four people. Who are the four people? There is Yosef, right? Because he, Ma Betza, Ki Haragno, whatever. So the Yehuda saved Yosef. Plus, we have Tamar, and she was pregnant with two babies. Yehuda saved Tamar and Peretz and Zarach. So altogether, he saved four people. And the Medrash says, so too Hashem saved four Yehuda people. And who is that? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So Rabbeinu B'chai points out, that's not just four connected four. Think about those four. Yehuda saved Yosef, who was where? In a pit. And Yehuda says, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. He shouldn't die in a pit. And who got saved? Daniel, who was where? Famously, in a pit. Hashem saved him from there. Bishchus that. And then Tamar and Peretz and Zarach were being burnt in a fire. And then Yehuda said, oh, it was me. Take her out of the fire. So Yehuda saved three people from the fire because that he was zocha to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah to be saved from a fire. Okay, that's just a midrash that he explained. Now, he also points out that in all the brachos of Yehuda, you will not find the letter Zion. And he says the reason for that is because the malchus of Yehuda,
which means basically the Jewish Malchus does not rely on Zions, clay Zion are weapons. The Hatzlacha of the kingdoms of the Jewish people is not based on weapons, it's based on Zchus, Schar or Onesh. However Klal Yisrael is doing, we operate on the Maila Miderech HaTeva when you're talking about the whole Jewish people. So our Hatzlacha, or lack of Hatzlacha, Chas V'Shalom, is all based on Schar V'Onesh and not on Klay Zion. Okay, then by the Bracha of Yisachar, we have Vayar Menucha Ki Tov. He saw that rest was good. Now Yisachar is the one who learned Torah all day. Doesn't mean he saw rest was good. So Rebbeinu B'chai explains rest of the body was good. Why is that? Because your body needs to be at rest. Your body, your mind, it has to be at rest in order to learn Torah. A person's in terrible situations, very difficult to learn Torah, and they can't properly understand what they're learning and connect. And he says, if you listen this far, just to get up to this, it was worth it. This is about the bracha in Hashiva Shoftenu. He says a very interesting pshat in what we're davening for. He says, I'll tell you this much, you're not davening that you should have we should have our shoftim back so you can finally collect that debt you were owed. That's not why we added it in davening. He added it in davening because we want the Sanhedrin and the Lishkas Hagozis so they could give us correct mishpat and etzah. In other words, act as the rabbis of everybody. You know, they'll be don cases and they'll give us etzah. That's Hashiva Shoftenu Kever Shanav Yoatzenu Kevat Chila, the Yoatzim. We want to have great rabbis. We want like the Sanhedrin that are in the Lishkas Hagozis. And then, V'haser Mimenu Yogan V'anocha, then after we have that, we're talking about after Mashiach comes, obviously, the bracha before us, the Kabbah Shofar. And after that, we're davening Hashiva Shoftenu. And then we have to daven V'haser Mimenu Yogan V'anocha. We shouldn't be sad about anything. Why? Because otherwise we can't connect to Torah. In other words, once we have the Sanhedrin who's going to free us up and guide us in the proper way and we can learn, we also davening we shouldn't be in any pain so we can learn Torah properly. Okay, remember that next time you daven. Then we have, it says, Vayisarcha Vayitchich Molis Bol. So the simple understanding that, of course, if you understand it in the Torah way, is that he was Vayitchich Molis Bol Ol HaTorah. He crunched his shoulder over to be Sovel, the Ol of Torah. But he just says in general, it's Atamid Chacham has to be mashbil themselves. That's the lower themselves. Okay, just an interesting thing about Binyamin. It says Binyamin Zev Yitrof, that the word Zev is 10. That Zev Rem is, the gematria of Zev is 10, and Rem is to his 10 children. Okay, now, generally speaking, Rebbeinu B'chai says, by all the Shvatim, I don't think we discussed it in detail, but all the Shvatim he had said in the previous Parsha, all their names, or the Parsha before, all their names are a remez to some kind of Mida in Shemayim. In other words, yes, Reuven's name was Reuven, but it was also a remez to some Mida in Shemayim. And he had all the details in the previous Parshas when they were born, why they got those names. But he adds here, besides that every shevet is a remez to some koach and shemayim or some midah, the color that of their stone in the choshen is also based on that. So this may be a chiddush too if you never heard such a thing. Colors are significant in Judaism. The most famous one is that the string they used to tie on the goat that they would send off the Sir La'Azazel, right? There was a string. They kept one string on top, one string on the goat, and it would miraculously turn from red to white, because red is bad. Red is midas hadin and chait, and white is chesed and good. So the same thing, Reuven, he had said, just we'll give that one example, Reuven, he had mentioned, was midas hadin, and his stone is odem. It's red. Moreover, not only is it just the shvatim are merumas to stuff, and their stones are merumas to stuff, but again, similar to what we said last week, it's not that, and there happen to be 12 shvatim, and therefore there happens to be 12 mazalos. It goes the other way around. Hashem created the world this way. He says that there are 12 malachim who surround the kisei hakavod, and then there are 12 mazalos, and because of that, there must be 12 shvatim. In other words, Yaakov had to have 12 shvatim, because everything on this earth is a remez to stuff in Shemayim. And anyway, that's the pasuk says Kol Eila Shivti Yisrael Shnei Masar. That's how it ends off. So he says that's what the Kol Eila Shivti Yisrael is coming to tell you. Kol Eila, the whole world is Shivti Yisrael Shnei Masar. It's all based on Shivti Yisrael. Those are the Midos, and that's the world was created that way. All this is significant to Ramazim to things Shemayim. Okay, then Yaakov dies, except he didn't, right? Most of you are familiar with this famous line, Yaakov Avinu lo meis, that the Chazal say. Yaakov never died. What does that mean, Yaakov Avinu lo meis? So, here's an interesting thing from Rabbeinu Bachai. Normally, when a person dies, their neshama eventually, at least, leaves the body. In other words, the neshama may hover over the body for a little while. Let's say after a year, whatever the time is, it goes up to Shemayim and doesn't come back. With Yaakov, it did come back. It kept coming back. It still hovered over his body. Now, why is that? It's not because it wasn't Kaddish, because it was so, in other words, Yaakov's body was so holy, because he was so holy in his life, that normally the neshama, once it separates from the body, it's like, you know, yeah, done with that. You know, I don't mean to make light of it at all, but, you know, normally the body is, the soul does not return to the body after a certain amount of time, it gets completely separated, it's chozer l'sharsham. But when you have a super holy body, then the neshama goes back, keeps coming back, because it had a holy body too. So that's Yaakov Avinu lo meis, because he kept kept coming back to his body. Similar to the story with Rebbe, famously in Ksuvus, who after he died, he used to somehow come back and make kiddush for his family. However that story worked, same idea. His body was so holy that his soul never really completely went upstairs and stayed there and kept coming back. And he has a little more details there. You can look it up if you like. Obviously, this is I guess we call it stuff above my pay grade. But that's the basic gist of what he says. And then when he dies, it says that they cried for him 30 days, and he brings that Chazal learned that that is the maximum. Yimei b'chi of a tzaddik. Like if you want to say, oh, let's have a longer mourning period for the super great tzaddik. No, no, no. 30 days is the max. Okay, then it says, Yosef Allah, and Yosef brought his father Yaakov back to Eretz Yisrael, and he brought Gam Rechav, Gam Parashim. So Rabbeinu Bachai goes to tell you, he says, quoting from Yosifund, that there was a big war. Yosef brought a whole army with him because he knew he was going to have a war. When Yosef wanted to bring Yaakov back to Eretz Yisrael, so Tzfo, son of Eliphaz, came to fight to stop Yosef from burying Yaakov in Maaret HaMachpelah, and there was a whole war. So that's what Yosef went up with, his Gam Rechev, Gam Parashim, went up with Gan's army. And then it says also that it says at the end that they all returned. After they come back in Pasuk Gedal, it says Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayma, Hu Vechav V'Chaloil Olim Ito Likbar Saviv, like a whole long thing that everyone came back and all the people went came back. That's what it's telling you. There was a big war and nobody died. That's the finish there. And then Rabbeinu Bachai tells us a little bit about what Hesped is, because talking about Yaakov's death. So he explains what Hesped is. So Hesped is, he says, remember the Zichron HaMeis, V'Yichuso. You remember the Chasadim, the good things that the Meis did. That's what's supposed to be mentioned at a Hesped. And it's based on the Ka'ev, the pain that the people feel that the person's lost. And the way the person died, in other words, if a person died tragically, and the tova. In other words, the good that you used to receive from this person being around, and that's gone. So that's what needs to be mentioned. Okay, so the what you lost, the good that the person did, the chesed that the person did, the pain on his loss, if there's a tragic way that he died, as well. And of course, if the person was a big Talmud Chacham, the part of what was lost is their Torah. Okay. Then we have finally a pretty big important thing. It says, you know, the brothers come with Yosef to Yosef after Yaakov died and said, please don't get, your father said, don't get angry at us. And Yosef cried when he spoke with them. So he says Yosef cried because they mentioned the father. That's why. But Yosef never really forgave the brothers. You got that? He says that we don't find that he forgave them. He didn't forgive them. And that's why they had to be punished at the time of the Asar HaHeruge Malchus, that those were, like he mentioned last week's parasha, that was the Asar HaHeruge Malchus were killed because of the sin of selling Yosef, because Yosef never really forgave them. Then it says, Anochi achal kel eschem, Yosef promises to feed them, and he says the reason he had a promise to feed them is because, like Rabbeinu Bachai said, it's true the famine stopped when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, but as soon as he died, the famine came back. And then he says that Yosef was zocha that when he died, 600,000 people were there at his funeral, which is the way it's supposed to be by the death of a tzaddik. As it says, Kinesinasa kach netilasa, that just like when the Torah is given, like the Torah was given with 600,000, it's supposed to be taken with 600,000. That means that so many people are supposed to be at the funeral. Yosef got that tzchus. And he ends off that Yosef did the mitzvah of burying Yaakov, and because of that, he got one up. He got the tzchus that Moshe, who was greater than him and Yaakov, Moshe buried, which Rabbeinu Bachai says, Moshe buried Yosef, right? This was Yosef buried Yaakov. He got a higher level. Moshe buried him. And Moshe got a higher level. Who buried Moshe? Hashem. So, to tell you the great tzchus of doing mitzvos. Okay.